بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. One part of majlis of Hazrat Imam Asyullah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, where he mentions that love has become a big joke with Allah Ta'ala. Now this statement is something to ponder, that we claim something, for that claim there's some kind of proof is wanted. No one says you haven't got love for Allah. Everyone got love for Allah. But the love that we are talking about is that love that brings about the closeness with you and Allah. In this world, everyone who's got Iman, he's got love for Allah. But everyone's love is not the same. But it's obvious that all we are sitting here, we have sacrificed everything for the reason. And that is to become more close and dearer to Allah. So here, Hazrat says that we have made the love of Allah a big joke. Now what is the meaning of that? The meaning of that is this. The Rasulullah s.a.w. made a dua that, oh Allah, give me love of that kind, or love of that person who bring me more closer to you. Give me a love of that person whose love will bring me closer to you. Or give me that love that will bring about a barrier between sin and me. Now these kind of du'as Rasulullah s.a.w. made, or let me love that person who will become more closer, bring me more closer to Allah Ta'ala. But that means now this month that we have to do something and ask ourselves, do we belong to that du'a? In other words, this much, that are you working towards the love of Allah? How you should be? If it's so, that you come into the majlis so often, by now you should be doing so well, or trying to do so well, that at least you will try to protect yourself committing all kinds of sins. In other words, if you have true love for Allah Ta'ala, then you will make sure that you're not going this street and that street, on this bazaar and that bazaar, and begin to look at other women besides your wife. This has become very common now. That even now it is so sad that the ladies have become prostitutes. Muslim ladies. When I'm talking of Muslim ladies, not to look what extent they have gone to. That the Muslim ladies who are married, they've got a halal husband. This is what happens when you go through Western way of life. When you become open with everyone, be hayai, immodesty, then you know, idha fataka al-haya fa'al ma shi'ta. Everything now becomes for you, you do whatever you want, immodesty becomes that high. There's no shame anymore. That woman now who is married to her husband, she leaves her halal and goes to some haram. Likewise, a man leaves his halal food, his wife, and goes towards haram. Yet he is doing all the deeds you can see with us. He is there in every place, he is there. He may be sitting in every good company. But what is it leading him to? Why is he still crept into those conditions? Because it's obvious that if your house is not right, then everything goes wrong. Your house must be according to the sunnah of Tariqah Nabi Kansar. I got a message this morning which got me very sad. That a woman married to an alim, and she came from Malaysia, she was overseas, and she came here, and she's in Parda, and she's involved with another man here. So when she leaves the halal, and goes with her. Now there's so many cases like that we can tell you that what's happening around us. And one of the reasons for that is because if you got true love for Allah Ta'ala, why is it that you are still drowned up and so much, you know, drowned in the cell phone? Why is it you still look at all the prom, whatever nonsense about us, what must I tell you, the filth.
Where is the love for Allah Ta'ala?
If you got love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how can you stoop that level? That you know, you leave your husband, says the Tani Rahmatullah, say that that husband who loves his wife, may usko wali samajhta hun. Do you know what the statement means? That person who loves his wife, may usko wali samajhta hun. I take him as a wali. Because why? That wife is now protecting him from committing all gunas. So what is happening today is that we are leaving our wife with a halal and going towards haram. And he also went on to say this much, that when the wife throws, when the wife says you something very harsh, or throws, you think she's throwing stones and rocks on you. And when the same words, someone is going through haram, when she says the same words, you think she's throwing flowers at you. So where are we going to? We've gone to the extent that we are no more, not civilized, immodesty, totally immodest. And one of the reasons for that is because of the fun that you see, all the trash and the filth that you see in the sun. Nabi Karim Sallam said, the time will come, you'll find fitna in the masjid, you'll find this, this snap, all this music around the masjid. We're seeing it now. Openly it's been seen. People are sitting with those trash and they're looking at that. We may think, oh, the Muslim is reading some kitab, some dua, because they say, look at the Muslim doing some act of that kind, you must think good of him. But he himself is so drowned in all those rubbish that in the masjid also he does not have almost no more respect for that. So where we are stooped, to what level? To that extent we are stooped to that we are coming here, but we have our own desires. We have our own desires. There are no more desires for Allah Ta'ala. Desire for whatever I want. This is what is supposed to be coming out of our lives. Never mind if you are committing those sins, come back. If you're committing the sins, come back, make tawbah. The door of tawbah is open, but come back. But do not get drowned in the thing. Because the more you're getting drowned in the thing there, the more you're going further away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you're causing more harm for yourself. And remember, Allah ta'ala does not want to punish anyone unless you make tawbah and come back. So anyone who's committing these kind of sins, I only plead to them that please make tawbah and forget about it. Don't go near it again. Have the love of Allah to come into your heart again. Once you got the love of Allah in you, in true sense, true love, you notice what will happen to your life. Everything happened in this world because of our wrongs. Let us now do all the good things that will bring about that barakat in our life, the love and affection in one another, and the barakat and izzat at homes, which is no more there. We have to bring that into us. That's why Nabi Karim made Allahumma, oh Allah, give me love of those people who bring me closer to you. Now what that means, we have to learn that if he made that dua, and he was the greatest of the greatest, if he was among the people also, it does not make no difference. If he's alone, it make no difference, but he loved, oh Allah, let me stay alone. I do not want to meet people unnecessarily. So one of the main purpose, the only way a person can keep away from sins, is try to keep away from people unnecessarily. Today, every corner you go, the malls are there, only the Muslims are there. The women are there in every coffee shop. You go into all the good madrasas, they've been taught all the good things, but that doesn't make any difference. They are now still in the mall, sitting on the coffee shop, having enjoyed themselves. Tell me, what have you learned? Where is the modesty? There's no immodesty. Full of immodesty. Behaya you call that. And that's exactly what is happening in all the homes and all the houses too. So if we are not going to stop it, the only way we can stop it is not to go fight with them. You lit the fire. You lit the fire. How will you put the fire off? Muhabbat. You have to change. You have to change. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to Makkah al-Mukarramah, you must know that place of, what was that? The place that no one could live, uncivilized. But the first thing that what he did was he was so kind to them and humble, he changed their life. So you better change your life for them to change. If you change your life and look at your children with love and affection, then you see Allah will change their hearts too. But if you use the hard line because you allowed the hard line, you gave the freedom to your wife to that extent that she's very a parda. Parda is not everything. Parda must be at home strictly, then parda outside is strict. But today's parda I don't want to talk about. I don't wish to talk, it's another subject altogether. Today, I do not wish to talk about parda at all. Because if I begin to tell you, it's sad to say, let me not say more than that. It's frightening. It's really frightening. However, I was going to say that, Hazrat is saying that, do not make a joke of the love of Allah in your heart. Ask yourself, am I making a joke of Allah? By the way I'm behaving. I'm putting a picture in front of anyone, the portrait of my picture in front of people like I'm a very great saint. But in reality, as someone else. Remember, if you want name and fame you get in this world, there you get nothing. There you get nothing. So you become more honest with Allah. And show Allah, Ta'ala, oh Allah, I've committed the sins, oh Allah, I won't go back. Just imagine a person leaves his halal wife and go to haram. Go to haram. When Allah made something halal, you leave that halal and go to haram. Allah forbid a person, the hadith is mentioned, a person even is busy to commit a crime, the sin. His iman is out of his body. The iman does not want to accept his body too. And khudana kare, if he had to pass away that question, what condition, what would be his position? Why don't we think like that? It will at least, that will become a barrier for that person not to commit the sin. Allah Ta'ala has sabkihi fa'ali. We cannot look down at anyone, my dear friends. We got children, we got everyone to look after our children. Don't think of looking after other people. Look after your own children. Look after your own house. Your house is on fire, but you worry about other person's house. Put your house in the right way. Please try as far as possible. The cell phone is always talking about. That is the cause of that. That is the cause of all the harms. Husband is busy with the cell phone, the wife is busy with the cell phone, the children are busy with the cell phone. What are they looking at? Only Allah knows. So Sharia, what is the meaning of Sharia? Sharia is to bow down to the command of Allah. The meaning of Sharia is to bow down to the command of Allah. That every command of Allah you bow down. There's no such thing as, you know, you pick and choose in Sharia. The moment you say that I bow down to Allah Ta'ala's command and Sharia, in other words, now there's no such thing I'm going to choose anything. I have no more desires anymore. When a person gives his hand to Allah, then he has no more desires. He says, Allah, what are your desires, my desire? How many of us are doing that? You said that your desire, Allah, my desire is your desire. So whatever Allah, you say to me and whatever you do to me, you have the full rights. Then you are supposed to be truthful in what you're saying, honest in what you're saying. Otherwise, you say, you know, you do whatever you want to do me, Allah, I am prepared for you. But do not put me in any test. I am very weak to put test. But your desire is my desire. Now my family can tell me anything. If it's against your desire, then, oh Allah, I will not follow this. How many of us today here can say this much that we are fulfilling Allah's desire completely? When it comes to weddings and nikahs, you find that everyone's nikah is different competition now. If that person got a nikah of that kind, then this person got a nikah of this kind. To show one another whose desire you fulfill. Sad to say, when the husband is on the straight path, then the wife is in the wrong path. That's why in hadith it mentioned that when you choose a partner, choose the right partner, a pious person. A pious person. And the greatest gift a person can get in this world is a pious wife. The greatest gift a person can get is a pious wife. A pious wife will bring you more close and dear to Allah Ta'ala. She'll make sure she will. And the desires which she then, she'll overlook all those things. But today everything is nafsaniyat. Our nafs. Because we are not prepared to keep Allah happy. You should have only one thing in our heart that to keep Allah. Because who is our Narisha? Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Who is our Narisha? Who is giving us? Who is looking after us?
Everything Allah Ta'ala is looking after us.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, you say in a masjid namaz and every 5-10 salah, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Oh Allah, you are my Rabb.
Oh, you are my Rabb, say, what's the meaning of that? You have taken the responsibility of nourishing us. We must not worry about that at all.
Nourishing is my duty, Allah says. Nahnu narzuquk.
I'm the one that's giving you adn. And I'm not only giving you, the whole world is under my control. I decide how much to give, how to give.
Do not worry about that. Keep me happy. Follow me.
Nourishment is in my hands. And not only for the Muslims, for everyone.
Sulaiman alayhi salam told Allah Ta'ala, Ya Allah, you know, give me the opportunity now to feed the people. Allah Ta'ala said, oh Sulaiman, don't do it. Okay. He started feeding, fortunately, he started the seeds. Started studying the seed, feeding the seed or the seed.
One big fish came and ate all the thing up.
The other fish still waiting for the food.
And Sulaiman said, what happened here now?
He said, you want to feed?
Allah said, you have only one side given food and you were all completely finished.
I am the nourish. I look at everyone.
Even that rock there, you knock that rock down, you break, cut it down, you find one insect there.
You'll find this one green leaf is eating that.
And that leaf, that insect is saying to Ya Allah, you have not forgotten me.
When that leaf did not forget, it says that Allah, how can forget us?
How can Allah forget us?
When that person went with the hajj with his wife, and it so happened when she gave birth, and she just left that child on the mountains, and she went for hajj. Can a mother do that?
When she went and performed hajj and came back on the road, said the husband, let's go see the baby. We saw the baby, had milk coming from the thumb.
Allah was feeding that. Allah does not forget anyone. The nourisher. The one that nourishes everyone. The one who takes care of everyone.
Allah says, نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُكُ وَأْمُنْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ I'm only telling you to perform salah. I'm not telling you to go bring food for you.
Allah Ta'ala says in other words,
I'm not telling you to ask you for food. Food is my duty.
وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ
You make salah. You perform your salah. In other words, fulfill my commands. نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُكُ I will give you that. From where he'll give you?
How the birds come out in the morning.
They are not searching for food.
The food is waiting for them.
Likewise, that person who holds the hand of Allah has true love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he wakes up in the morning, the food is waiting for him.
Those people, three things Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. If that person got the three things in his life, he is the most comfortable person, most happiest person. He says, first that person whose rosy is at home. Whose rosy?
When a person wakes up in his morning, he's got a shop, he's got his profession.
When he wakes up in the morning, he goes to read namaz, but he knows at heart, my rosy is waiting for me. What can namaz is read?
No concern at all, but
with peace of mind, he reads namaz, he performs his salah in the way he's supposed to read salah, and he makes dua also, but in his heart of heart, my rosy is.
That doctor, he's going to surgery. He knows that my rosy is waiting for me. Every person like that, he wakes up in the morning and thinks that my rosy is waiting for me. What can namaz it make? And the biggest thing is he waking up in the early part of the morning and thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when Allah tells you, thank Allah ta'ala, Allah tells you more and more.
So every person of us, may I ask this question, how many of us from here who wake up in the early part of the morning thinking you're going to masjid, Ya Allah, I thank you, brought me up with iman, and Allah, my rosy is waiting.
That person leaves home to make salam. But if the person's rosy is not there, and he has to go everywhere, from here and everywhere, to search for his rosy, what would be his position?
When he makes salat, he's getting worried for the day, what would happen to me? And then he wakes up and leaves home to whether he makes salam properly to. He's worried now.
So how fortunate is that person, Allah gave rosy? So Nabi Karim Sahib says that person is very fortunate whose rozi is his hometown. One is got rozi somewhere up, you know, 50 kilometers, 100 kilometers, which are, you have to go everywhere. But here next to his house it is. How much shukr he must make? That much shukr you're not making to Allah. I cannot thank you that you're giving my rozi in my hand. And the wrongs that I'm doing, the sins I'm committing, yet you've not closed my rozi. How thankful must be. How grateful must be. In fact, you must become more near and dear to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To keep Allah more happy. Second, he says that Allah Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that a person who's got a spacious home, not an extravagant home. Extravagant home, the owner himself does not stay there. If anyone comes to his house, he's more worried about the house, not worried about the heart of the people. He says, this person is going to come, let him go quickly from here. Spacious home means a spacious heart. Spacious home means spacious heart. That your heart is so spacious that anyone come to your house too, you look, you give them a smile, you welcome them smile, not with your mouth, your heart smiling. Today people are only smiling with their faces, but their hearts are not smiling. You smile with their heart, you give it, openly you give them, whatever it is. Not that, you see, one thing you must remember, it's very sad that when we get any visitors suddenly, within to us, that, hey, what happened there now? What must give them to eat? Baba, what are you eating? What are you eating? Whatever you are eating, put the same thing. The most important thing, do not put people under pressure. When they come, no matter, suddenly a visitor comes, now you run to the kitchen, tell the wife, what do you do now? Why, what do you make? Fry eggs? What do you got? Oh, you got yesterday's food. Put the yesterday's food. Or what did we eat? We eat that. Bring all that together and put it. That is more muhabbat in there. There's more muhabbat in there. One buzuk went to Hazrat Ghanshan Bangoi Rahmatullah this. He said, he came there, he says, Hazrat, I came there now. Then I met him, he says, Hazrat, oh, kal ka khana hai. Ha, zarur de do mujhe. There must be no such thing as, you know, formalities. Must be open-hearted. The women are trying to get worried now. What's going to happen? You ate the simple food, that's the best food. Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali, when he went to one Buzruk, Hazrat Rahman Sahib, Ganjamona, the Badi Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, when he went to his house, at that time it was night, they told him, Hazrat Teta, where your food is? He said, no, I'm going to go to a hotel. He said, which hotel is open now? They said, you eat by me, from my house. So the food came. Food came, brought it there. He said, what is the food? He said, maash ki dal. He said, dal. Sahaba ne ye bhi nahi khaya. What he said? Sahaba did not eat this food too. Did we ever think like that? That if someone come to your house, take that food and give it. Dr. Hansa Sahib Rahmatullah should come to the place. So whatever you eat, what is dal ki dal, beans. Whatever you are eating, if you are like that, then you must know that house got haram. But if you put in pressure, like one is you make organize before time, then you can see a visitor is coming, you organize it. And one is a sudden visitor comes in you, then you don't have to run this way and that way and put the wife into pressure. Whatever is there, put it in front. You'll be surprised that the food is so wonderful to eat. So wonderful to eat, because that is the true muhabbat food. So this is what we try to see, that our life is gone to that extent. That we are full of desires, but our desires is not complete. We learn to fulfill Allah Ta'ala's desire. If Allah Ta'ala's desire, and any condition Allah Ta'ala puts in you, that's the best condition. Any condition. If you want the condition to be unpleasant, in your eyes is unpleasant, in the eyes of Allah Ta'ala is very good. In the eyes of Allah Ta'ala. If a man can accept every condition of Allah, that is a true person in reality, that he is prepared to accept every condition of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala sometimes, because Allah does not want to punish anyone. Allah Ta'ala does not want to punish anyone. He sees a person committing all kinds of sins, he puts him into different conditions. This kind of sickness, that kind of sickness, this kind of the calamity, all those things take place with him. Now that is unpleasant for him, but in reality, Allah Ta'ala is forgiving his sins. Allah Ta'ala is not making Tawbah also, committing sin. So let me put him in this condition. He is very unpleasant, not happy at all. But that's the only way I can put him right. Because the moment he gets this condition in him, he becomes humble. And not only humble, he becomes helpless and hopeless. He knows I got no other help besides Allah's help. And in front of Allah, he becomes very humble there. So this is whatever Allah does to a person. This blessing in everything that he does. But we do not understand those things. It's like going to a doctor. Hazrat was telling us, when a doctor comes to you and a person is very sick, he says, look, I have to operate you. Now you know that operation is a very big one, and you know it's a dangerous one. Why don't tell a doctor, don't do it? Why don't they? You don't know the chances are 100, you don't know what will happen, but you say, no, go for it, doctor, go for it. And you know it's a very painful operation too. Do it. No matter what happens. And after he does the operation, my husband's telling us this, after the operation done, day after what you are doing, doctor, when you're getting very well now, cured, doctor sahab, no, thank you, no, I'm give some gift also. Leave alone, I'm thanking you, I'm so well now, I'm giving gift also. Not the fee only, gift also. I'm feeling so well. Allah Ta'ala is like that. Allah Ta'ala. That when you're committing sins and all, you're operating you, put operation. Must operate you now. What must I do? I can't use stitches anymore, but operate you now. It is not a small procedure, it's a very big procedure, but operate you. So this is the operation for Allah Ta'ala. When a banda is not making tawbah also, not going to do anything, then let me put him into this kind of calamity and this condition of this kind, where he begins to make sabr and come down to earth. And once the operation is done properly, and when he cries and cries and cries and repents and after, then the plaster takes place. After the operation and the plaster takes place, you get peace of mind. Then the peace of mind that comes into you, thereafter you cannot talk about it. But the peace of mind in reality is in Jannah. The peace of man had in Jannah. But you'll get a peace of heart here too. But because you repented and you put yourself right now, and you went for the operation and made tawbah and istighfar, then inshallah you'll have peace of heart, peace of mind. Peace of mind is which is wanted most for you. Peace of mind, once you get in you, then you must know that you have got everything. If you have no peace of mind, and those people who commit all kinds of sins, you'll find they've got no peace of mind at all. The faith is no noor at all also. You can make it out. The faith will show that it's personal. And one of the biggest sins today is what? As I told you, leaving halal to go to haram. Likewise, even looking at boys committing homosexual. So many other things that have been introduced in schools. And sad to say, in Muslim schools, I don't say Islamic schools, Muslim schools, these have been introduced. What do you expect then? What do you expect? We have to make dua to Allah Ta'ala that we are living in a society at the moment that Allah will protect us all from this fitna. We are going to be very serious fitna. Our homes must be put right. That's why I always say, put your homes right. You can speak to your children and allow them to come to sit in pious companies. Today, the most important thing is to sit in pious company, good company, as far as possible. That child may not learn anything, but inshallah, the barakat of the place Allah has put in the child's heart, muhabbat, which is very, very important. Another thing which is very important, I noticed that people have long, you know, hopes. A lot of hopes. Like a child now, from this age, you say, you know, this child will be now, okay, give this education, that education, and thereafter, you know, I'll do this for him, and do that for him, do that and that. I met so many people of that kind, one now, but this building, I'm building now. But before the building is finished, he's dead. He passed away too. So what is happening? That's how the people say that this son of mine now, you know, he's I mean, make him a doctor or whatever, make this and make that. So long lantana is taking place. But the father never see that into. So what is this? I'm trying to say is, do not have all that. That, you know, I'm still going to look at my, look to see my grandchildren too, my great grandchildren too. I suppose. So what are you actually doing? You're making all the kind of excuses to me. The most important thing is bring you close to Allah Ta'ala. That is the most important. If you came close to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, then you got everything. And do not have this long, whatever I say, you know, like you call it Sheikh Chilli stories, but think it out of your life, that's not important at all. So this is what is supposed to be. So Allah Ta'ala put into Ahkamul Hakimin Allah. Allah Ta'ala is Ahkamul Hakimin. He is a master of the universe. He knows what is good for us. We must accept everything. Even the government, when they put a law, who can argue with them? No one argues with them. Even when you want to argue also, you cannot argue. They keep quiet. And the law of Allah Ta'ala, you want to argue. Whatever He does for us is the best. He said, this is best for me. That's what Allah Ta'ala does. Many a time you do certain things. That's why they say, whatever you do, but make sure that you trust in Allah. You trust in Him. Medication you take to, but trust in Allah. A person passes away to, but trust in Allah Ta'ala. You have to cry for the child who passed away. You have to cry for your father who passed away, your mother who passed away, you cry. That's the haq. But you must be prepared to accept the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. That is the most important thing. So in our lives today, the most important thing that I have learned from today, Majlis, is your desires must be Allah's desire. You mustn't have any desire at all. If Allah decides this thing here, He knows what is good for you. You mustn't argue with Allah. You must not put any kind of proposals. Today people are putting proposals. I want this like this. The moment you put proposals, it's like arm Allah. So make dua to Allah, you become completely submission to Allah. To submit yourself completely, to bow down to every command of Allah. Then you see the barakat and izzat Allah Ta'ala gives us all. Allah Ta'ala not can tawfiq this name. Allah Muslim, Muhammad al-Mu'ala al-Sulman. Allah ma'asina aqibatana fi umur kulliya wa atinna min khizir dunya wa atana al-akhir. Allah wa nas'alaka al-sihh wa al-ifrah wa la ma'ana khusn al-kulti wa al-dhaan. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad al-Mu'ala al-Rahmatika ya al-Hamdulillah.